You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Afrofuturism is an art form and philosophy where Black people reimagine what the Black diaspora looks like in the future. If you've watched the film Black Panther or noticed sci-fi themes in the music of Janelle Monáe or George Clinton, then you know what I'm talking about. Oakland painter Paul Lewin is another example. His work features images of nature, folklore, and Afro-Caribbean women that appear both ancestral and futuristic. His colorful and intricate paintings have graced book covers of sci-fi greats Octavia Butler and N.K. Jemisin. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Paul Lewin about how his Jamaican heritage and love for sci-fi influence his creativity.
Your art is incredible. I think your story is incredible. I know you were born in Jamaica, and your dad was an influence in your art and in your life. How so?
He was definitely my first artistic influence. He was a woodworker, and I would help him with various different projects that he would work on. And it was in those projects that we would talk about creativity and about art and his work ethic, you know, and his joy of creating things and just how hard he worked on his woodworking projects. He had a full-time job. He would work during the week. He would work 5 days a week. One of the biggest things that he created was a train set, because he was into model trains. And it was a pretty big train set with mountains and rivers. And it was something that he had worked on for about 8 years. And I would help him throughout those years working on it. It just inspired me to work that hard. And it inspires me today in the way that I work now.
So was he working, when he was working on this, was this in Jamaica or had you already moved to the U.S.?
I'd already moved to the U.S. at that time. I was born in Jamaica in 1973. I moved to the U.S. in 77. And we lived in New York for about 1 year. Then we moved to Miami. I lived in Miami for 27 years. And that's mostly where I grew up, was in Miami.
And it's funny because I can see that in the artwork. I can see Jamaica. I can see Miami in your artwork just because of the colors, especially some of the blues you use. It reminds me of when I've gone to Miami and the water and like some of the hotels, like yeah, the blues that they use. So I can definitely see that in your work. But I know something else that's influenced your work aside from culture and where you live is science fiction and fantasy. What kind of fantasy and science fiction were you into growing up? Were you reading sci-fi books? Were you, you know, watching films?
It was a combination of both, but I would say mostly watching sci-fi films. When it came to reading, I was into a lot of fantasy, such as Lord of the Rings, and anything that had to do with dragons and swords and, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, things like that. But for movies and films, I was into Star Trek very heavily, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers, you know, all of those, all the 80s, 70s, 80s classics.
So you talked about how, you know, when you were growing up, you were into sci-fi and fantasy and Lord of the Rings. And I know for a long time, you know, Black people, we've been wanting a space for our own science fiction, for our own fantasy, in art, in media, in film. And I'm looking at your work right now. I have a postcard of one of your beautiful pieces. This is The Visitor. And you created your own idea of fantasy, you know, using like images of Black people and Black culture. How did that all come to you?
Well, yeah. So it was similar for me, definitely growing up. I didn't even recognize it, though, as a kid. It was just that's what science fiction was. These were the characters that we were given. I was really into it, and it was exciting, and, you know, the idea of being able to go to all these different worlds. But it really wasn't until I got a bit older that I started noticing that, yeah, these characters weren't representative of me and my culture and, you know, the people in my family, my friends. And a lot of the times what happens now is that I'm creating images of things that I've always wanted to see, stories that contain my history and representations of me and my culture, and you know, to hopefully also be able to inspire, you know, kids growing up so that they'll see representations of themselves.
But it's interesting too, because with your work, it's futuristic, but you see the past as well. I mean, like, you know, a lot of your work, as you said, infuses the ancestors. And I definitely picked up on that the first time I even saw your work. Why blend the future and the past?
Yeah, it kind of just happens that way. I don't know if it's something that I do on purpose, but I like taking elements from my ancestry, from our history, and fusing them with the future. And it's just these ideas of future ancestors, what our ancestors might look like in the future. And bringing those elements together, it's part of what inspires, you know, Afrofuturism, the concept of taking the Black experience and putting it into the future. You know, it's not just adding Black characters to the future, but it's taking the Black experience and combining that with futuristic images. And it kind of just comes together that way.
Why do you think there's such an interest in Afrofuturism? I mean, it's really blown up, you know, recently. And Octavia Butler is credited with being kind of the mother, the godmother of Afrofuturism. But we've seen it really expand. We've seen it really grow with Black nerd culture, Black geek culture. Why do you think there's such an interest in Afrofuturism right now?
I mean, I feel personally that it's something that has just been, it's been there for a while. It's been there for a long time. It's been there since the 70s, you know, 60s. And now that it's starting to surface more into the mainstream, I feel that it's something that's just necessary, that people want to see. And I believe it's not just, you know, Black people that want to see it. I think all cultures are interested in it because it's also something that they haven't experienced either. And it's actually really interesting and intriguing to people in ways that, you know, Hollywood for a long time and mainstream cultures just didn't think that it would be. They didn't think there was money in it. But I do believe Black Panther clearly proved that wrong. And there's just such a rich history of, you know, folklore and science and creativity in African culture that it's mesmerizing when it's put into creative ways, you know, that deal with the future.
That was a beautiful answer. Thank you. One animal that I've noticed that comes up in your work a lot is the hummingbird.
Yeah, the hummingbird, it's the national bird of Jamaica.
Oh.
And my dad loved birds and he loved the hummingbird. So it's just something, a symbol that's always been a part of my life.
Does it have any special meaning to as well, like a symbolism or?
So before the Africans and the Europeans came over, the Arawak and Taino peoples that lived in the Caribbean, they saw it as a sign of reincarnation. To them, the hummingbird was a sign of their ancestors that had passed on. And were reincarnated as hummingbirds.
Oh, okay. You recently designed covers for Octavia Butler's Parable series.
Yes, I did, for her books. And it was unbelievable to me because she has been my number one influence over the past, I'd say, 10 to 12 years. A lot of her work has inspired the exact work that I'm doing now. And in the first two books that I read from her were Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. So to have that come full circle, to have my art connected to her work on those books, it's still something that I can't fully wrap my head around. Just absolute appreciation to have that happen.
That was artist Paul Lewin speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. To see some of his work, go to our website, klw.org.